Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. And just want to welcome each and every one of you this evening. Welcome one, welcome all. Let us start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for this new day, which is upon us, the Sabbath day of rest. We thank you for help, for strength. We thank you for protection, your mercy, your love. We thank you for working out everything according to your will, Lord, not our will, but may thy will be done in our life, in our home, in our ministry, in our relationship or workmanship, Lord, those that we minister to on the highways, the byways, our neighbors, and those in our church and communities, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you for your blessed hope that you have given all of us. You have a ministry for each and every one of us. Help us to walk in the lot that you have given us. Help us to reach the sick, the dying, the lost, those that are afflicted, Lord. Bless us, we ask, and protect us and guide us. Be with us as we're, you said, where there's two or three gathered, you are in the midst, Lord. Protect us and guide us, Lord, and the speaker at the hour. Be with him in a special way as he come at about the 8 o'clock or before, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us right here on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a reading, and I wanted songs. If she has some Sabbath songs that she would like to read and sing and minister to us. And if Sister Lee Olish can read off the commandment, either in Exodus or, you know, whatever she has to share, reading about the commandment of God. Because we know his law and his commandment are for us, especially us in these last days, and to share it with those that are around us in our communities, because many don't know about the Lord commandment and his soon returning. So I will, before I share my reading, I'll ask Sister, I'll open Sister Leola's line and then Sister Continelli line for the songs, the Sabbath song that she usually sings. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. 225-337, your line is now open.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Amen. Yes. Can you? Okay. Good evening, my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Sister Collie, you want me to read the Remember the Sabbath, the fourth commandment?
Yes. Yes, if you can, please. Thank you.
Excuse me. Yes. All of my markers have come out. So give me just a second. Praise God. Well, I just want to thank God for his blessings and his love that he gives to us every week. And the fact that I am able to see this day to glorify God, I am praising him. And I would like to read Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 through 11. Amen. I will have it just a second. I just want to praise God again for the blessing of this prayer line and Sister Carla hosting. And I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 through 11. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Excuse me. And I am grateful to this word, because in this word it shows who is the rulership. And Sister Carla, I have this little pamphlet talks about God's rulership and how he's let me just share it right quick. It says the Sabbath symbol of God rulership. And it just talks about all, and I hand these little pamphlets out, and it gives you a little candle, a calendar, and it talks about the days of the week. And it got the 4 weeks for the Sabbath. It all highlighted in red. But I just want to read just one or two of these things, and I'm going to start with this one. Let us do this. It's a question and answers. What kind of date should the Sabbath be? A delight is coming from Isaiah 58:13. A delight. It should be the most joyful day of the week, as the Sabbath brings us into the presence of God, our Creator. Christ, we shall begin experience on earth a taste of happiness we shall have with Christ in heaven. And then it says this. I want to share this one. Was the Sabbath only for the Jews? It was also for the sons of the strangers. Anyone that wants to worship the true God, Exodus 20 and 10, Isaiah 58, 1 through 8. The Sabbath is universal, since God created all men, not just the Jews, and all men need the Sabbath memorial to remind them to their relationship to their Creator. And I'm going to stop there. It is such a blessing. These little Sabbath, it's like a little a trifold. You can fold it 3 times, and it explains all of God's Sabbaths and everything concerning the Sabbath. Even if a person have a question concerning, it says a question. I'm going to just do this one here, Sister Carla. It says, question.
Amen.
It says, what What will be Satan's last attempt to force people to disregard the memorial of his creationship and authority over men? And let me read it to you. And he say, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this little pamphlet gives you, I think it's about 15, 16 questions and answers. So it's truly a blessing. It looks like a lot more, but it says it's 16 questions and answers. So I enjoy reading this myself. So thank God for this blessing. Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for me. I was traveling to my daughter's house, so pray for me, please.
Okay. Amen. Praise
the
Lord. Thank you, Sister Lee. Yes, thank you again, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing these little gems that we have to share with others and to point them to Jesus, you know, to point them to our Savior who is soon to come, and he wants all of us to be saved, even those that don't know him at this time. He wants them to be saved. Kind and loving Father, please be with Sister Leola. She's driving to her daughter's house. Please protect her and guide her and keep her, and all those that are on the road, Lord, be with them in a special way. All those that are coming now to for the closing Sabbath hours, that they will get home safely, that they will finish what they're doing, Lord, so that they can sit at your feet and worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you, Lord, for who you are. Protect her again, Lord. Bless her. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you for sharing, Sister Leola. We know the Sabbath day is very special. It's a memorial to each and every one of us who keep the Sabbath day by God's grace. So I'll just, my reading just, okay. I'll open Sister Consonelli's line until I get my reading back. It just, 518, 482, good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Carla. I open my line. Happy Sabbath to you all. I deem it a very wonderful privilege to be here to open the Sabbath, to sing, to praise God. Because just this afternoon when my husband came home, he was telling me something. He said, you know what? We lost one of our workers this week. He was at work Wednesday. And they didn't see him come in Thursday. And then they find out they had to go to his home, rap on his door. Oh, my. And he was there. But what? What do you think? He was dead. He was on his floor holding his tummy. We don't know what happened, but they found him dead. So the dead cannot praise the Lord. So I'm just glad to be here to sing praises to God. And to begin our Sabbath this evening, I'm going to sing The Dawn of God, Dear Sabbath. And then I have another sister who is in the hospital. She was just, dear, she was just reversing her car, but maybe she didn't park it properly, you know. She did not park her truck and put it in reverse or whatever she did, but she was on a hill. So the car, she went to the bathroom. She went to use the bathroom, came back, and the car was moving. And she tried to stop it, and the car ran over her legs, ran over her stomach, and she's in the hospital now. So, you know, we have so much. I'm just overjoyed to be here and give God praise and thanks this evening, because I could have been somewhere else. My first song would be The Sabbath, The Dawn of God's Dear Sabbath. The dawn of God's dear Sabbath breaks for the earth again. Our sun sees summer morning after
And we would bring our burden, all the sinful thoughts and deeds, in thy dear presence kneeling, from bondage to be free. Our hearts must be to sorrow for all thy work done. So many talents wasted, so few right laurels won. And with that sorrow mingling, I stand by faith and sure, and love so deep and fervent, for thee to make it pure. In thy dear presence finding, the pardon that we're near, and then the peace so lasting,
amen. So this is one Sabbath, the dawn of God's dear Sabbath comes down to this earth again. And many people have not seen it, don't have that privilege to be here. They are gone. And we must always remember the dead cannot praise thee. So my other Sabbath song would be, Again the Day Returns. And that day, we know that it's the Sabbath.
Again the day returns of holy rest, which when he makes, will Jehovah bless. When like his own he did our liberty, and all be and all be thee. Let us devote this consecrated day to learn his will and all we learn obey. So shall he hear when fervently we raise our supplications and our songs of praise. Lord of all worlds, incline thy gracious ear, thy children's voices tender mercy here. Bear thy blessed promise, fix thy health in mine, and shed renewing grace on lost mankind.
And the last verse is,
Father in heaven, then in whom our hopes confide, whose word defends us and whose precepts guide, through life our surest guardian and friend, glory supreme be
a beautiful Sabbath song. Sister, I sang too. You want me to sing any more, Sister Carla?
That will be great. But right now, if I do, I would I will ask you if you have time. But
okay,
go ahead,
read.
Oh, did you want to read yours before I go ahead and read? Did you want have something to read before? But the two song is fine for now.
Oh, okay, yes. All right.
Okay.
Hmm. You could read what you have to read. I'll come in when you finish.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you, Sister Consonelli, for the song. Thank you for sharing your testimonies. We know there's a lot of people that's going in their grave, and we pray that they have made peace with the Lord, that they have accepted the Lord and Savior as their God, as their Redeemer. So may the Lord have mercy upon them. So I'll go ahead and share my reading. It says, there is the highest reason for us to prize the true Sabbath and stand in its defense. For it is the sign which distinguished the people of God from the world. The commandment that the world makes void is the one to which, for this very reason, God people will give greater honor. It is when the unbelieving cast contempt upon the word of God that the faithful Caleb are called for forth. It is then that they will stand firm at the post of duty without parade and without wavering because of reproach. The unbelieving spy stood ready to destroy Caleb. He saw the stones in the hands of those who had brought a false report, but this did not deter him. He had a message, and he would bear it. The same spirit will be manifested today by those who are true to God. And this is MR 239, paragraph 3, and it continues. The psalmist said, they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. Psalms 119, verses 126 through 127. When man pressed close to the side of Jesus, when Jesus is abiding in their hearts by faith, their love for the commandments of God grows stronger in proportion to the contempt which the world keeps upon his holy precepts. It is at this time that the true Sabbath must be brought before the people, by both pen and voice, and as the fourth commandment and those who observe it are in, as the fourth commandment and those who observe it are ignored and despised, the faithful feel that it is the time not to hide their fate, but to exalt the law of Jehovah by unfurling the banner on which is inscribed the message of the third angel, the commandment of God, and the faith of Jesus. M-A-R, page 239 and paragraph 4. Brothers and sisters, this is the day we can't be silent. We can't be ashamed of the gospel, and we got to proclaim the Sabbath. Not that the Sabbath is going to keep you, but that is something that the children of God must know about the Sabbath and keep it holy, because in heaven we'll be keeping the Sabbath also, and it starts here on earth. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Again, thank you for joining us. So I'll see if Sister Consonelli is ready to share her reading, and if not, I'll go to the next caller. Your line is open, Sister Consonelli.
Go to the next caller.
Okay, then. Okay. Amen. Well, amen. So I will open the line for the next caller. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Preparation Day. Many of us is on the border of the Sabbath, so we just want to thank the Lord. 985-6647. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Brent. Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
This is Sister Brenda calling from Alma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for today. Happy Sabbath. And thank God for watching over us last night, waking up today. And just thank God for this this journey. We continue studying and praising and lifting him up. I would like to read my prayer, devotion prayer. Lord, thank you for giving the gift of Holy Spirit, not only to me, but to allow who receive you in faith. Lord, I pray that you would prosper the good work that you do through all of your believers, even if we are culturally or demonically different. Use each of us you have placed us so that we may reach the people that you call on us to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. What a wonderful God we serve. I just thank God again because he's so wonderful and he's wonderful to praise. That's the only one we can go to and call in time of need. I just like for prayer for Ben Light and Sister Power and her mission in Jamaica, and pray for them that they get that mission done and they stay strong. Pray for our Ben Light family that they're all strong and we can do this mission. Continue studying and praising the Lord. Just ask for prayers for me and my family that we grow strong in the Lord. And just pray for the rest of the families on the prayer line, Nate family, that we continue in the Lord and grow strong. And everybody just stay on the battlefield. Amen, Brother John.
Yes, Brother John from Louisiana. Hope everybody's having a blessed evening. Today or whatever time of day it is today, you know, around the world, different parts, different times in the world. But anyway, you know, just thank God for everything. And he's sheltering us. Thank God for watching over us and guiding us in the right direction. So many paths are taking this world, and I'm going to stay on the right path. I said the righteous path is the best way. It's going to help us grow and become wiser and, you know, smarter and stronger inside, you know. And to me, that's, to all of us, you know, that's where it's at. That's what it's all about right there. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing and being faithful students at the Bible and studying and learning and coming on and, you know, being an encouragement to others as we ourselves try to encourage you also and your family. So praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Again, thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath again, brothers and sisters. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Sister Continelli, when you're ready to share, you can press 1, my sister, so that you can share. Whenever you're ready, press 1 so that you can share. And I've been reading this book, The Path to the Throne of God. It is a very powerful book that talks about the sanctuary, because the sanctuary is a beautiful lesson. If I get time today or another day, I'll share some of the reading. And as we know, Brother Elder Vincent will be our speaker this evening. So again, share it with others and tell them to come and join us. Brother Vincent will be our speaker this evening. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open up Sister Consonelli's line. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I just want to read a little, but two paragraphs. The work and life. You know, God is the source of light and joy to the universe. Like rays of light from the sun, like streams of water bursting from a living spring, blessings flow out from him to all his creatures. And that's why we are here tonight. And wherever the life of God is in the hearts of men, it will flow out to others in love and of blessing. Our Savior's joy was in uplifting and redemption of the fallen men. For this he counted not his life dear unto himself, but he endured the cross, despising the shame. So angels are ever engaged in working for happiness of others. You just imagine, angels are happy to help others. What about us? This is their joy that with selfish hearts would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank in the work of sinless angels. The spirit of Christ, self-sacrificing love, is the spirit of that pervades heaven, is the very essence of its bliss. This is the spirit that Christ's followers will possess, the work that they will do when the love of Christ is enshrined in their heart like sweet fragrance. It cannot be hidden. Its holy influence will be felt by all with whom we come in contact. The spirit of Christ is in the heart. It's like a spring in the desert flowing to refresh all, making those who are ready to perish eager to drink of the water of life. Isn't that wonderful? Love of Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work for his. Love of Jesus will be manifested in a desire to work as he worked for the blessings and uplifting of humanity. It will lead to love, tenderness, and sympathy towards all the creatures of our Heavenly Father's care. Yes, and that is why Christ came to this earth, to share from a manger to Calvary. He followed the path of self-denial and sought to be released from arduous tasks, painful travels, and exhausting care and labor. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that is taken from Matthew 20:28. This was the one great object of his life. He came to minister, and that is our work today. And may God help us and help me to find somebody to each day to talk, to tell them something of Jesus' love, because that's when Jesus was here on earth. That is what he did. Minister to all those who were sick, those who need help, those who were lame, those who were blind. Yes. This was one great object of his life. Everything else was secondary, right? It was his meat and drink to do the will of God and to finish his work. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us join by telling others, because every minute you turn, you could hear somebody dead, somebody, you know, die, somebody got, you know, some all sad news. And it is it should be our greatest joy to be stirred to tell somebody about Jesus, because that was Jesus' great joy. And if we are falling in his steps, we will do likewise. So my little encouragement to you this evening is to follow in the footsteps of Christ and do what he did when he was here on earth. And I wish you all a happy, happy Sabbath. God bless. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for coming on and sharing those encouraging words.
Yes.
And thank you for your song. Amen. Your song that you shared earlier. We still waiting for others to join us. So if you have another song, Sister Consonelli, if you want to share it, I will open back your line We're still waiting on our brothers and sisters to join us. As we know, the sun is setting a little later. But thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, that he said where there's two or three gathered, he will be in the midst. So if you have one more song, Sister Continelli, if you would like to sing it, I will open back up your line to check, and then I'll read about the path to the throne of God. So I'll open your line. Amen.
Yes. I have another song here. It says, Oh, put our thoughts. And I would read the words because the words, I just love this song, the words of this song. And it's now for us to, you know, lift our thoughts from the sordid things of this life. When the Sabbath comes, I'm so happy about it that you really, it's not an ordinary day. And this song, it says, it's Annie Steele. She said, oh, put our thoughts and wishes fly above these gloomy shades to those bright worlds beyond the sky where sorrow near invades. He said, there's joys unseen by mortal eyes or reason's feeble ray in ever-blooming prospect rise exposed to no decay. Lord, send a beam of light divine to guide my upward aim. With one reviving look of thine, our languished hearts inflame. Oh, then on faith's sublimest wing, our ardent souls shall rise to those bright scenes where pleasures spring, immortal in the skies. And I would sing one verse of it. It says, oh, could our thoughts and wishes fly above those gloomy shades to those bright worlds beyond the sky where sorrow near in face. Lord, send a beam of light divine to guide our upward end. With one reviving look of thine, our languid hearts inflame. Amen. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us while we pray, take all our gifts away. Oh, let us from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to our fainting heart, our zeal inspire, as thou hast died for us. Oh, may our love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While as darkness be trend and grief are spread, be thou our God. Be darkness turn to thee, white sorrow's tears away, nor May the words of this song linger in our hearts as we go through the Sabbath. Thanks, Sister Leo, for opening my line. Thanks, Sister Carlo.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Constanelli. Yes. Sister Leona, Sister Carla, Sister Stephanie, we all work together, and thank you for your presence, Sister Constanelli. God bless you, your husband, and your family, my dear.
Thank you.
Amen. And again, welcome, brothers and sisters, and I'll just read a little snippet from the book, The Path to the Throne of God. And the chapter 4 says, Israel, preparation for service. And we know we are the spiritual Israel, and we need to be prepared for service. And, okay, I'll just skip a little bit so I can get to the meat of it. Okay, well, I'll start from the beginning. No one has raised their hand. It says, the first Passover. Preparatory to entering upon the sacred work of constructing the sanctuary, God led the Israelites through experience designed to strengthen their faith and better qualify them for the test. Chief among these was their miraculous deliverance from Egyptian bondage and idolatry. When the exact time arrived, God laid bare his mighty hand to set them free. To mark this great event in obedience to his command, each household on the 10th day of Abib, that's the first month, selected a lamb without blemish. And we know who that lamb points to, right? Jesus. So we continue. A male of the first year. The lamb was kept until the 14th day of Abib, when it was slain in the evening. And we know from evening to evening is a day. So it was slain in the evening, beginning of a new day during that time. Continue. That is between 3 p.m. and sunset. And the blood sprinkling on the doorpost of every house where the Israelites was assembled. It was then roasted with fire in that night, the early hours of Abib. It was eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And you can find this in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The bitter herbs were to be a reminder of their release from bitter bondage, okay? The unleavened bread was bread of affliction. They came forth in haste. They were thrown out. Deuteronomy 16, verse 3, and also Exodus 12, verses 33 through 39. The lamb roasted with fire typified the fiery trials of the Lamb of God, who was wounded for our transgression, oppressed and afflicted. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. The blood put on the doors for the protection of those within symbolized the blood of Christ shed to protect them, even us to this day, from the power of sin. And we know who is the father of sin too. So it's to protect us from the evil one. This service was called the Passover because when the Lord smote all the firstborn of the Egyptians, so he killed them, destroyed them, he passed over the house of Israel where the blood had been sprinkled. It was for a memorial, just like the Sabbath. It is a memorial, amen, of God's creation, and that he is Lord of Lord, King of King, and Creator. Continue. To be observed in commemoration of their deliverance. It was to be an ordinance forever, Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. And throughout eternity, those whose sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ will continue to celebrate their great deliverance. And even us, brothers and sisters, we have to celebrate our deliverance from bondage of sin because Christ has died for us and shed his blood that we can be sinless and without sin, without spot, and be holy and righteous as he is. So we're going to go into prayer, and I am going to ask Sister Powell if she can pray and if she wants to share. I will go and open her line. Again, thank you for joining, brothers and sisters. 518-951. Your line is now open. Good evening.
Hello. Can you open my line, Sister Carla?
Yes, yes. I open your line to see if you wanted to share or offer a word of prayer, please.
Yes. I will share and I will just pray. We'll put the prayer, general prayer, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes, my dear. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Now I'm going to share my praise report. God is so good. God is so great. Last Sabbath, we have three people went into the watery grave. And this Sabbath, my dear beloved, another brother that we have been studying with since I came out, and he fully surrendered all to the Lord, and he will be baptizing tomorrow. So we have two baptism street by street. So I'm asking you to pray for these young souls who go into that watery grave, that God will keep them and that they will be faithful. We know that heaven rejoices. He rejoices when one sinner go down into the grave. So that is a blessing for each one of us. And I just want to thank God that he have allowed me to, you know, using me this way, it will present the word, the truth to those individuals out there. Some here, but you know, a lot rejected, but if it's even one or two or three, where the Lord said if they come together, he is in the midst. So I'm asking you to continue to pray for those young souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, King of kings, creator of heaven and earth and everything, ruler of the whole world and ruler of your children, we want to give you thanks and praise this blessed Sabbath evening for what you have done for each one of us. You have kept us throughout the whole week. And now, Lord, you allow us to sit at your welcome table to enjoy your sweet blessings from above. We are just asking you, Lord, to help us. Have mercy upon us so that we will continue to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your provision for us. You provide food, shelter, clothing, peace of mind. You provide your words of comfort, Lord, so that we can read, so that when we read your words, we know that you was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came down on this earth, and you suffer your life, your blood was shed because of us unruly children, but you have done it because of love, Lord, for your children. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for this family line, Lord. This is a family, dear Lord, and you said a family is supposed to be stick together closer than a brother, Lord. So as we come before you as family, Lord, to share all the goodness of you tonight on this line, and you will listen to their requests, Lord, from each and every one who had present their requests to you. And they knew where you are, dear Father, in the most holy sanctuary in heaven. And they know, dear Father, that they have a Father that they can depend upon, Lord, who said, cast all our burden and our care upon him because he cares about us. So, Lord, I did not hear much of the requests, but I do know you know them, Lord. So I lift up Sister Carlo, who is the host tonight. Lord, as she was reading, dear Father, your true word, and Lord, help her, dear Father, have your own sweet way in her life as she demonstrates your character wherever she goes, especially with her patient, them, Lord, and the young people, Lord, who she minister with, Lord. Lord, we ask you to allow them to see Christ and Christ in everything that she have done, Lord. Continue to bless her children, Amanda and Nicholas, and all her family members, Lord. And we lift up the patients, them with their Lord, and her meet them. We ask you, Father, to take care, because her life is going to demonstrate your character to those who do not know you, so that they can know you. So we just want to thank you, Lord. We lift up Sister Leola, Lord, tonight, as and Brother Ray joined together as one, and Lord working together as one. And although, dear Lord, she has her mourning during these past months, you have allow her, dear Father, to be strong. You comfort her, so that, Lord, she was able to get along with her brothers and her sister who were there, dear Father, for support. Lord, we thank you for all the support that you have given unto your daughter. And now, Lord, she cries out to you for her granddaughter in her pregnancy, Lord, when the baby was not doing right, dear Lord, inside, Lord, she had crawled out to you for prayer, and she got prayer, and prayer was answered, Lord, that the baby have been in the right location, Lord. So we just want to give you thanks, Lord, for what you have done. You can do all things, and without you, it is impossible, dear Father, for us to serve you. So we have to continue daily, minutely, and hourly, like Daniel, who pray daily, Lord, to you, and who trust and depend upon you. So we just want to thank you for what you have done. And the good report of Jarvis, who had a surgery, and dear Father, they came out victorious. So, Lord, we lift up the young people to you, the baby. Father, we lift them up and allow this family that they will train this child to fear you, bring this child in the right and proper way, that then we hear, dear God, how you have given us parents and grandparents, so that we will do the best, Lord, that you want us to do. So we lift them up to you. We lift up Brother Richardson, Elder Richardson, Sister Richardson, Lord, the work that they have been doing, Lord, the missionary work, evangelism, Lord, going out, sharing your words to others and drawing others to you. We lift them up to you and the community where they are. We lift up Sister Stephanie, dear Father. Continue to bless her, continue to keep her, and you gave her another milestone where she rejoiced and give you thanks for all the blessings that you have blessed her, Lord, with her two children, Kaja and KJ, and her school, her class, Lord Jesus, her wonderful children who she are so proud of, and to saw what she went into that classroom and to saw your handiwork, what you have done with those precious children. So we just want to give you thanks, Lord, and all the administrator. We lift them up to you. What those who are not doing the right thing, we ask you to touch their hearts so that they will look to you for guidance and that they will be obedient, Lord, when you speak to them so that they will hear and answer your call. We also lift up to you, dear Father, Elder Rich Rick, Lord, and his family, Lord, or Naomi, and her family, dear Father, Brother John and Sister Brenda, the work that they have been doing in Louisiana and the life that you have changed in Louisiana, so that they are praising and giving you thanks for all the blessings you have showered down upon them. And also, dear Father, the grandchildren who is learning these little scripture passages and also praying and singing. Lord, so we just want to give you thanks for that. Lord, Brother O'Neill, Sister Consinelli and her family, her brother in the hospital, Lord, and the mission that they are doing, even the work, Lord, by going out to the hospital, the nursing home, taking care, Lord, of her brother, dear Lord, and cheering others. We just want to thank you for that. Sister Barnaby, Father, continue to bless and keep her, guide her, protect her. I am going to try to get her, dear Lord, but you know all things work together for good to them that love you. So if it is your will, we will be able to connect. Father, we are distant from apart. We are distant from each other, but we know you are not a distant from us. So continue to bless and continue to keep. Lord, Brother O'Neill, Lord, and his family member, we ask you to strengthen him. Lord, we lift up Brother Ricardo and his family. We lift up Brother Akeen James and his family, Lord, and all the family that do so much on Advent. Like, remember these young preachers that when they come in and they were presenting the word, Lord, all those in from New York City, dear Lord. We have people come from afar, so we lift them up to you and touch them. Jeff at Florida, Naomi at Florida, dear Lord, and all the other Melissa, dear Brother Yudi, his children, his wife. We lift them up to you. But what more could we say? Thank you for this blessed Sabbath. And as we lift up all the requests, you know everything, the desire of the heart, what they need, dear Father. And we are asking you, please let your will be done. It is in your hand. Lift up the speaker tonight, that the fresh bread from heaven, that we will enjoy the word. And not only enjoy the fresh bread, but we will be able to share, do us to share the bread to others out. And the bread is the word of God. Continue to bless us tonight, we pray. Help us to be faithful. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Also, Brother Eli and his family, Jehovah, and all his family members, Lord. Sister Tamika, Lord, lift them up again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer. Amen. And may God continue to bless you there in Jamaica and the ministry and how you're reaching these young and middle-aged and old in the community. That's what people need to know, that there's someone coming to help them and point them to Jesus. And may the Lord continue to bless you and show you favor with himself and with others, with human, with men. Amen. So again, thank you for the prayer. Thank you for also joining us all the way from Jamaica. It's a blessing to gather with my brothers and sisters. So the speaker is on yet. So I just have time to open one more line, brothers and sisters. So please be quick. To share. I don't see the speaker on yet. Let me make sure. Okay. So I have time to open up one more line. I believe it's Elder Richardson. If you can give us a song, Elder Richardson, 931-332. Your line is now open.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you here, mate?
Yes, we can hear you.
I hear you? Oh, okay, great. Happy Sabbath to all. Elder Richardson saying hi to everyone. Hoping all is well and having a blessed Sabbath. It's good to hear Sister Powell's voice, though she's far. And God bless and be upon us as we share our testimonies and our prayer and our songs. Yes, all right, I'll do a song as the speaker is getting ready, about to be ready. I pray the blessing of the Lord tonight in this. And you know, if it's ever people need the Lord, It is now, yes, and we have the blessing to share. People need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with care, heading who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hide this silent cry, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take this light to a world where wrong seems right. What would be to break a cause for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life, only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, be the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord.
Amen.
For people need the Lord.
Amen, amen.
We all need the Lord. Let's give the message to those that are perishing. God bless.
Amen. Thank you,
Thank
Elder Richardson, for that heartfelt song. And a song is also a prayer. People need the Lord. As you said, we all need the Lord every day, every moment, every second, because without him, we wouldn't have our beings and be able to move and do what we're doing every day. So let's thank the Lord and let's worship him in spirit and in truth. So I pray everyone have their notepad, a pen, their Bible, Spirit of Prophecy books or device or something to write it down so that you can go over and search out as Elder Brother Vincent Cherry comes on and present the message to us this Sabbath evening. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. With no longer waiting, we'll open the line for Brother Cherry. 715-491. Good evening. Your line is now open, and
We should be closing at 9:15, Brother Cherry. Amen. Can you hear me? Yes, your line is muted. I believe this is Brother Cherry's number.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sister. Could you let me know when it's 9 o'clock so I'll make sure I end on time?
Yes.
So
okay.
I'll make sure I don't go over because last time I went way over, and I don't want to cause anybody to say, I don't want to listen to that brother. He talks too much. Talks too long. Yeah. But I hope that you all get something out of what the Lord would like for you to hear tonight. I really am thankful that the Lord has brought us through another week. I was on a different call last week, and I'm going to actually share the same thing I shared with them last week. I'm going to share with you this week because this is very important. It is something that is of vital importance, and especially something I heard today that goes along with it. And brothers and sisters, I just want to emphasize, and some of you probably already heard this, but I'm going to put it together and show you some other things that go along with this that you probably have never considered, maybe heard of, and just to reinforce the urgency of the time that we're living in right now, because what has happened, unfortunately, with the church, with us, even our personal lives, myself included, is we hear about something about to take place, and then when it doesn't occur as we imagined that it would, we have a tendency to relax ourselves and say, oh, that wasn't so bad. It was nowhere near like everybody says it was going to be, and we drop our guard down and become lax and indifferent, not realizing that each step is leading toward the final destination. You know, when a person is about to go off a cliff, they don't realize it until they take the final step usually, and they realize, oop, I shouldn't have taken that last step. And it's too late then. You can't turn back around. There's nothing to put your feet on. You're going downhill. And this is what I think is the experience of many people today, and I pray that none of us will have that experience, but unfortunately, for many people, that will be the case. They keep stepping, and not paying attention to where they're going. Their minds are distracted on other things. And when they get that final step and they realize there's nothing under their feet, they're down. They're hit. They're going down the abyss, and that's the end. We need to be wide awake. The Bible tells us this. Before we start, let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for another day of life. Father, I thank you especially for another Sabbath. Lord, I'm so grateful that you carried us through another 6 days. I thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for blessing my youngest daughter. She has a good job and she enjoys. And just seeing the pictures of the food she made for the people is a blessing. I know she's going to use her talent to your honor and glory. And thank you for blessing me with all my children, all three of my daughters, my son. Thank you for blessing me with my grandchildren. And thank you for the mother of my children and the parents of my grandchildren. Thank you for these brothers and sisters on the call tonight, Lord. They're my family, too. And I pray that you will bless each and every one of us. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, O God. I pray from all unrighteousness. May the love of God permeate our minds and our hearts. That, Lord, every day of our lives, from this day onward and even before, may we have made our decision that come what may, we are the Lord's. Lord, I pray that what we will hear tonight will cause us to make a firm decision that we will follow you and not the things of the world and not even our own hearts, but surrender to you. Please let the Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, and I hope you have notes and write things down, I'm going to give you some reference sources to take a look at. Some of these things you probably will not have in your possession. And if you want copies, let me know. I'll send it to you. Okay. And you know, I've said this on many other calls before, and I have to say this because I've offered people documentation for free. I don't charge for anything. I've given people videos that I have made, and I don't charge for them. You know, a lot of ministries charge you hundreds of dollars for their videos. I don't charge a penny, nothing. You know, I don't even ask you to pay the postage, and the postage is expensive now. But I never, ever have asked in the 30 years I've been doing ministry. You know why? Because God is my payer. He's my employer, and he always takes care of me. And now that I'm full-time ministry again, I don't have a job anymore. I left it. You know, I retired. I'm totally dependent on the Lord. I mean, I do have Social Security, but that's nothing compared to what I was making. I had a very good job, and but I want to do God's work, you know. And but I feel it's important, so important that people have the messages and the information that I don't charge, because a lot of people can't afford it. Things cost a lot nowadays, and so when I make it available, people don't ask for it, and they'll say, well, you know. What it is, I think, I really don't know. I don't know why. It just dumbfounding. But friends, when someone offers you something for free, take advantage of it, okay? And I just want you to know, there's no hidden thing that'll say, oh, you know, now that you got the information, you'll send me this and that. No, you will never, ever hear me ask you for anything. If you want to donate, that's your business. You don't have to. And if you are a widow woman, if you're a single mother or a widow woman, I don't expect you to send me anything. I don't want you to, actually, because, you know, that's just the way I am. That's my policy. I don't want nothing from them. Now, if a person wants to give, that's one thing. That's up to them. But do not feel obligated to send anything except thank you, brother. That's it. And that you use the material that you ask for. If you're not going to use it, if you're not going to read it, if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then be kind and send it back to me so I can send it to somebody who really wants to use it, okay? Because I guarantee you some of this stuff, you're going to say, ooh, I kind of wish I hadn't asked for that because now you have a responsibility to say something. I hope you're not that kind of person. I hope you're the type of Christian that realizes when God puts something in front of me, I have a responsibility to do something with that information. It requires me to take action. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That armor is found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We should all be familiar with that by now. Let us walk honestly, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We must wake up. The Bible says plainly we must be asleep, or it wouldn't have put that injunction in here to wake up. It's time to wake up. We know that the 10 virgins are asleep. And the 10 virgins, we're told in Christ's Object Lessons, represents God's church today. All of them slumbered and slept, not just the foolish ones. Even the wise ones went to sleep. And somebody had to call them and wake them up. Are you getting that? Who woke those virgins up? They were supposed to be the true church, and they were asleep. Who woke them up? Well, you know, that's a study in and of itself. Who woke the virgins up? But friends, the admonition is, it's high time to wake up, which means it's at the pinnacle of time. There's no other time greater than now to wake up. And I'm going to show you some things, and I hope you understand that it is truly high time to wake up right now. We don't have a moment to waste anymore. Time is a precious commodity, my friends. Once it's gone, it's gone. Money you can spend, you can earn some more. Food you can eat, you can buy or grow some more. Gas, your car empty, you can put more in it. But time you can never replace. Once it's gone for good. What you could have done, you cannot do again. You might do something similar to that, but whatever you could have done at the time that you had the availability to do it, that is gone. That time is no longer in existence. And we have to realize the Bible tells us that we should number our days. We have to pay careful attention to how we use our time because, as a servant of the Lord says, the one talent that God is going to require of everybody to give an account of is how you use your time, how I use my time. And I know that I have been a time waster in the past, and I'm endeavoring to stop doing that. Stop wasting time. Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Oh, I just don't have enough time for that, but I have time to do something else that is not productive at all. But what about the time that we have to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord? What about the time that we should be spending time with the Lord on our knees in supplication and thanksgiving and prayer to God and interceding for others? Are you using time to do that? What about the time we should be studying his word that we might fortify our minds with the truth of the scriptures that we might be able to stand through this last great conflict? Are you using your time for those purposes, my friends? Are you using your time to go out and to witness to other people, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked? Are you using that time wisely, or are you using it watching entertainment or entertaining yourselves or going shopping or just sightseeing and, you know, these meaningless things that really don't benefit anybody, not even yourself, realistically speaking. It's a fleeting thing that here today and gone tomorrow. What about the time? It is high time to awake out of sleep. You know, I did a sermon once in Indianapolis, Indiana, about 6 years ago, and the title of it was The Sleepwalkers. And the opening picture had a group of people sitting in church, and all of them were asleep. They're sitting up, but they're sleeping. And the preacher's preaching, and they're all knocked out cold. And, you know, they have a term for that in Italian that they used to use to talk about what they call these creatures called vampires. They were called the Nosferatu, which means the living dead. And, you know, like a zombie, they're not really there. And, you know, if you go to church today, you'll find people sleeping during church hours. You'll find people sitting there, eyes are open, but they're asleep. They look like they're awake, but they're not. They're not cognizant of the time we live in. What is happening that we should be paying attention to right now? The Bible tells us we have to get ready because our salvation is nearer than what we believe. You and I hope you understand. I hope you know. I hope you appreciate the fact that God has called you from darkness into his marvelous light. Put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of God. And when we came to a knowledge of the three angels' messages, we said, praise God, the truth. I see it clearly now. I see what's going on. That light just hit you like a high beam on a car. Boom! And you said, whoa, I did not know all of this before. And you were excited. Remember that? Do you remember when you first heard the three angels' message, how excited you were? And you said, I want to get baptized into Jesus. You didn't get baptized into a church. You got baptized into Christ, okay? And when you got baptized into Christ, you then joined his church, his fellow believers. It was people, not a system. You joined with a group of people who believe the way you believe now. You believe like they did. And so you wanted to fellowship with them, and you wanted to work with them in proclaiming God's last day message to the world. But something happened along the way. Something happened to put us to sleep. It's like a narcotic or a sleeping pill. Somehow or another, somebody slipped one in on us and knocked us out cold. And we kind of sleepwalk through life now. But God says, time to wake up. Friends, several things are going to happen in the very near future that you and I must be aware of. The first thing I want to talk about, you probably already heard this, but I'm going to go a little deeper than what you've heard so far about it, just to share a little bit more with you. And that is on April the 7th of this year, which is next month, April the 7th, less than a month from now, there's going to be an event taking place worldwide, not just the United States, but worldwide. It's called Earth Sabbath. How many of you heard that? Most of you hopefully have by now, because a lot of other ministries have been talking about it. And I hope you didn't just dismiss it and say, oh, well, just another one of them things. Because if you did, you made a big mistake. Because this isn't just about that one day. Okay? It's not just about that one day. And it's not by some rankled group of people from ragtag organization. This is a well-planned worldwide movement. Are you following me? This is very, very serious. This is one of those things where once the motion begins, it almost becomes self-perpetuating. It keeps on going. And it's not going to stop on April the 7th. They're going to do it again a couple months later. I'll tell you in just a moment. I'll give you the exact date. But let me talk about Earth Sabbath itself. This is going to take place. It's called the Earth Sabbath March, by the way, a march. They want to organize people to march on April the 7th, which is on a Sunday, okay? Bear that in mind. And I have a short audio clip. There's actually a video, but you can't see it because we're on a telephone call. I wish we were using Zoom so I could show you the video so you can see this stuff rather than just hear me talk about it. But let me just share this with you real quick. I'll play it. Let me make sure I have the volume up here. I got a new computer, and I'm just learning how to use it. So, okay, I think that's high enough. All right, let's see how this plays out. I hope you can hear it.
Join the global movement for a weekly Earth Sabbath. Discover the importance of Earth Sabbath and how it can help reduce energy consumption. Learn about the upcoming Earth Sabbath March on Sunday, April 7, 2024, and how you can participate in creating awareness and demanding action for a weekly Earth Sabbath day. Visit www.earthsabbath.world to find out more about the Earth Sabbath movement and how you can get involved.
Okay, that was the introduction to it, friends. Now, you can go online to what it said. The address is www.earthsabbath.world, and you can see this for yourself. You don't have to pay for it. It's free because they want you to see it. They want you to participate in it, and they want you to recruit other people to participate in it as well to promote this, okay? And what they're going to do is on that day, they want people at 11 o'clock to just march, just walk, just as a group of people walk in support of a Earth Sabbath. Now, if you listened carefully to what the person said, they said, we want this to be a weekly Sabbath. I don't know if you caught that or not. When people were talking about this, they did not include the fact that they said they want this on a weekly basis. You see, it's not just one time. They want this every week. And guess what day they want it to be held on? Yes, Sunday. Not only that, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. There's so much more. People to count how many individuals participate in their march and report that information to the headquarters or the leading organizers of this movement. They want to know how many people are participating. If you go to the website, it says that we want everybody, it says everybody on the planet must participate in this. You see, they're letting you know this isn't an elective thing. You must do it. What they're saying essentially is we're going to force people to eventually partake in this one way or the other. You're going to do it whether you want to or not. You see, but they're being very subtle about it right now. Oh, you know, it's for the environment, it's good for the planet, and now they're saying that it's good because it'll give us a recreational day. Let's talk about what happened in Congress in the United States. I'll get to that in just a minute. But my friends, what we as a people have been told would take place so many years ago is coming to pass right now. It almost did in 1888. But God forestalled it over 100 years ago. But the time now, I don't believe he's going to do it anymore. Things are getting so bad in this world. Things are getting so corrupt. Things are getting so wicked. God, it has to just finish up. It has to get done. Jesus has to come back. Probation must close. The judgment must end. Jesus must come back and save his people, or there won't be anybody left on this planet. Because man will kill off everything. Well, through the devil, he'll kill off everybody if he could. That's what he wants to do. He wants to eliminate humanity from the universe. Satan does not want any human being to live. Did you know that? He hates humans. He hates us with a passion, and he will kill every human being if he had a chance. Thank God there's some in heaven he can't get to, and there's going to be some on earth that he won't get to either. And those that he does kill who are faithful, they will be resurrected. But the question is, will you be one of those? Will you be one of those? And will you endeavor to help others be one of those? That's the question. And we have to understand the time we live in order to understand what our duty and responsibility is right now. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say this enough. Play time is over. This lackadaisical attitude that we have had, that I have had, it's over. We better take our salvation seriously. We better take our responsibility seriously, because God is serious, and he's already said that if we're not going to do what he wants us to do, then he's going to blot our names out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you know that? Do you want your name blotted out? I don't want mine blotted out. I don't want my children's names blotted out. Their mother, my grandchildren, I don't want their names blotted out. I don't want any of your names blotted out. I don't want my neighbor's names blotted. If they have not accepted Jesus, then I'm going to introduce Jesus to them. I got a man, a friend of mine, who he comes and studies with us. We've been studying with him. We found out he has cancer. He has lost so much weight in a very short period of time, friends. He's not going to live much longer unless God intervenes. And I told his wife, I want to come and talk to him. I want to pray with him. So tomorrow, by God's grace, on Sunday, I'm going to go up to his house and I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to say, brother, you got to get it right, because you don't know when you're going to go. He knows he's dying. He knows it. He's already said it. He laughs about it. He thinks it's funny in a sense, but I think he's laughing because he's afraid. And so the only way to cover up his fear is to make a joke about it. But my friend, I don't want him to be lost. And so I said, Lord, give me the words to speak when I go up there. Please pray for me that I'll say the right thing and I want to lead him to Jesus. He's going to come to study, but he needs to make a decision now. He doesn't have time. We don't have time. You don't have time. I don't have time. We don't know when our time is going to be, that is my point. But we know the time is right now. Now, friends, this Earth Day thing, what they want is they want people to march to support this whole idea of a weekly Earth Sabbath. And then they want to report how many people participate in it. They want people to not drive their cars, to not go shopping. They want stores to close up and all other businesses to shut down. And they want people to not travel long distances unless you absolutely have to. Otherwise, stay home. Unplug any electronic devices that you're not using. I don't know if that's got to do anything with you. Well, excuse me. Actually, it does, because you see, most of your electronic devices today are instant on. When you turn it on, instantly it's on. If you go back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, that's not how things worked. They had to warm up first. They used to use what they call cathode ray tubes. You all don't even know what I'm talking about unless you're an older person like myself. Otherwise, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. But the old TVs and stuff had tubes in them, not transistors. And these things would heat up like little light bulbs, but they were actually electronic components. And sometimes they'd burn out, and you'd have to pull them out, and you'd replace it with a new one. They were tubes. And so the machines took a long – they would take time to warm up before they came on. You turn on the TV, you'd have to wait probably 30 or 40 seconds or maybe even longer before it actually came on, because even the TV tube itself would have to be warmed up before it would work. But now they came out with transistors, and now it's instant on. In fact, it is using power even though you have it turned off. You getting this? It's using power even though you have it turned off. It is still using power, okay? It's just a minimal amount, very small amount. So they're telling people, to save that energy, unplug it. Unplug your toaster if you're not using it. Unplug your whatever it is, your stereo, whatever you have, even your computer, if you got, even though it's off but it's plugged in, it's still using power. Just unplug it. We want to save. So they want people to be conscious. Save energy, right? And basically, it's an indoctrination. It is a training program to get people used to being told how to live their lives in their private homes. And you see, they're invading your privacy is what they're doing by these apparently earth-saving processes of energy conservation. But we know what it really is. We should know, at least. All right. So, friends, the weekly Earth Sabbath, okay? That's what they want people to get involved in. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's not just on the 7th of April that they want to do this. They're calling for it again for July the 20th. Okay, so there's two dates: April the 7th. Remember, that's on a Sunday, and July the 20th. Also on the Sunday. And they said they want people to listen to this: demand Earth Sabbath.
not requested, demanded. Demand people to not work. Demand businesses to shut down. Demand people to stop using energy or less energy. Demand people to do this and that and participate in this thing. It's not a request. It's a demand. Do you see what it's saying? What does Revelation 13 says? And he causes all, that means forces, all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in the right hand and the forehead, right? If you don't worship the beast and his image, you can't buy or sell. It is commanded, it's demanded of you. It is not a request. When Nebuchadnezzar built that big statue out there in the plain of Dura, he didn't request the people bow down. He demanded it. He said, "You, when you hear that music, you get on your knees. And if you don't, I'm going to put you in this fiery furnace. I'm going to heat it up." But he totally told the Hebrews, seven times hotter than it normally is. That's pretty hot. Yeah. And we haven't got big statues with fire in them like now, but believe this. It says they want to organize participants in this Earth March in your city, your community, your church, school, or university to create awareness for the need of an Earth Sabbath and demanding people take action in support of a weekly Earth Sabbath day, one day a week. Everyone needs to participate and keep Earth Sabbath to achieve real results. You see, everybody has to participate. That's why the Bible says it causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, the whole world. They want everybody to do this. And they said everyone needs to participate. They're not going to allow anybody to say, well, you know, I'm not really into that. So, you know, I'm going to just, you know, I'll just be on the side. No. We want you to participate. We want to see you actively involved in this. And if you don't, then we're going to have to impose some penalties on you. Are you following me? Friends, this is real. This is no joke. Look it up. If you have a smartphone or if you have a computer, just look up www.earthsabbath.world or world. Look it up. And then go to the right-hand side where it says about Earth Sabbath. It's at the top of the page. And there's a drop-down menu. And you can look at that and then look at the different articles they have. And they have short videos that explain different phases of what they're talking about, what they want to accomplish, all right? They even have testimonies. They tell you why they want to keep it, okay? Then they have different posts up there and things like that. I tell you, this is really something, right, friends? And so this is what is coming. Now, why is this so significant? I don't know how much time I have already. I've talked quite a bit already. Oh, it's 7:39. Okay, I got about 40 minutes. Less than that, actually 20 some minutes. Okay. I'm gonna have to shrink this down a great deal now. That's on April the 7th. The next day, on April the 8th, there is going to be, at least the astronomers say this, and weather people, a solar eclipse. Okay? A solar eclipse will take place. And they're saying that this solar eclipse, unlike the one that was in 2017, this one for 2024 is going to be different because of the tracking that it's going to have. It starts down near Texas, that you'll be able to see it in the North American continent, and kind of curve up the eastern coastline, okay, all the way up past Maine. And what is happening is people are already renting rooms in Airbnbs and hotels and even booking plane flights to follow the track of this eclipse. People are renting, the hotels are booked up. There's no room available already, and it hasn't even got here yet, not even April yet. And so government agencies are saying because of this large influx of people that are going to be stretched across parts of the United States, that we'll probably have famine. Famine? What? Famine has to do with lack of food because it doesn't grow. But they're calling it famine. They said there may be lack of water. There may be also a breakdown of the power grids. And they say that you probably will not have very good communication. The communications network will probably fail because too many people are using their cell phones and their computers to do research to see what the eclipse is doing. Now, friends, people use this stuff every single day. And 5G is supposed to be so powerful, they told us, oh, it's fantastic. It's, you know, 1,000 times faster than 4G because every generation comes out, it's exponential in its potential power output and usage. So there shouldn't be any reason why 5G couldn't handle a few people moving to a certain side of the United States just to use the Internet when they do it, even if they were at home. It doesn't make any difference. But this is done to scare people into thinking that this event is going to cause some kind of problem. Now, here's what I think about this, and this is pure speculation on my part, but just think about this, because what they always say is never let a good crisis go to waste. Use it to your advantage to instill upon the people more draconian control. Now, if this thing happens on on Sunday, and they said they want people to report how many people participate. They want everybody in the world. Well, they're not going to get everybody in the world to do it, first of all. You know that's not going to happen. So they'll say, there's this dismal number of people that didn't participate. This is horrible. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden you have this, the very next day you have this eclipse. What if, and this is just an if, okay? So don't go run around saying that I said this is going to happen. I did not say what if. What if the devil took that opportunity to manifest in some supernatural way, something, someone to say, you should have participated in that event yesterday, and because you didn't, I can't bless you and I can't protect you, America, and the rest of the world. You're going to be plunged into chaos. I'm going to give you another chance in July. So get it together. I need you to keep Sunday to honor that day, to discontinue all the things you've been doing that desecrate my holy day. Could that happen? I don't know. But I find it very strange that they set this week for this thing the day before the eclipse. And if you ever study anything about history, you'll know that at one time when the Our Lady of Fatima experience was supposed to occur in Portugal in 1917, the three children supposedly saw the Virgin Mary. Remember, there was an eclipse then. And then the sun began to dance around like a yo-yo and stuff. And most people don't even remember that. They don't study history, number one, so they don't remember. And they don't care. They say, well, that was no big deal. But they fail to realize how important that was. And if you're not familiar with what happened at that experience, I want to encourage you to go back and do some history reading because you need to know. You need to know what happened. Now, friends, what does that have to do with you and I today, this thing that's going to happen in April, okay, and then the eclipse the very next day? Well, the point is they want a weekly Sabbath. That's their aim, to institute a weekly Sabbath. Do you know that the Congress of the United States just had a hearing this week on cutting down the work week from 40 to 32 hours per week? Did you hear about that? It was a discussion that took place in Congress. And in that discussion, you know what they said? They said, we've done a poll of the American people and discovered that in the recent past, 70% of the Americans attended church on Sabbath, on Sunday, or attended church. They just attended church. But now it's down to only 50%. That's deplorable. That's horrible. What are we going to do? The moral fabric of America is coming apart. We've got to do something. Well, what's contributing to this rapid decline in church attendance? Well, most people said they're too tired to go to church. They'd rather just stay home and rest. Well, how can we resolve that? I got an idea. How about, since people are working too hard, we cut it back from 40 to 32 hours a week. That way, they don't have to work as hard. And then, because now I only have four days instead of five, they'll be able to get extra rest so that when Sunday comes, you know that's what the day they're heading for, they'll be able to go to church. Good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And so they're going to push for that. did you hear about that? This was just this week. And there was nobody, as far as I know, the video that I watched, nobody dissented. Nobody said, nah, that's not a good idea. They said, yeah, that sounds plausible. That sounds doable. Let's talk some more about this. Let's see what we can do about that. Friends, I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming fast, and it's coming serious. And we are sitting on our thumbs, not paying attention. The Bible talks about the men of Issachar. Issachar was one of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. Remember that? One of Jacob's sons was Issachar. And the Bible says that the men of Issachar, they had knowledge of the time and of what Israel ought to do. They had knowledge of the time and what Israel ought to do. And they were only, there was only like, I think it said 1,200 or something. There wasn't that many of them, but they were the leaders of the children of Israel. Whenever they would go to battle and do things and make decisions, the men of Issachar did because they understood the time that they lived in. They knew what Israel needed to do to prepare themselves. The rest of the children of Israel didn't know. So it was left up to the men of Issachar. And I hope and pray that every one of us will strive to be one of them. I believe that's found in the book of Numbers. I'm not 100% sure. I tried to find it. I can't remember. My memory is leaving me. I need to write it down. But if you know where it's at, somebody find it, let us know. All right. Now, the question is this. What does all this have to do with you and I as a Seventh-day Adventist? Because we say, there's no way in the world that I'm going to go along with this. Well, I have to differ with you, because if you don't know what's going on and what has been going on behind the scenes, you're going to fall into this and you won't even know why. And you're going to think you're doing what God wants you to do because you're not aware of the time we live in and you're not aware of what's really going on. In the last few minutes I have, let me tell you this. Every Adventist is sitting around, not everyone, but a lot of them, sitting around waiting for the image to the beast. When the mark of the beast comes, when they tell me got to keep Sunday, friends, if you're waiting for the mark of the beast, Sunday enforcement, before you make a decision, you waited too late. You were way too late. The thing you ought to be looking for is the image to the beast first. The image is set up before the mark is given. Don't you know that? It's right there in the Bible. In Revelation 13, the image is first set up. You're told to worship it. If you don't, then you won't get the mark or the number of his name or his name. You have to worship the beast, his image, and mark his name or receive the number of his name. Are you following me? The question is, when will the image be set up? Which Ellen White says, the image to the beast is the great test to the people of God. Who is she talking about? She's not talking about the world. She's talking about Seventh-day Adventist people. You see, our test comes first. Our test is not Sabbath. Our test is the image to the beast. Did you know that? Yes, the Sabbath eventually, but it starts with the image. And if you're participating with that, you automatically are disqualified from entering God's kingdom. Didn't you know that? She makes it very plain. And people are sitting around waiting for the image to be set up when it was set up over 100 years ago. And I'm sorry to say this, and I can give you documentation. As a denomination, listen to me, as a denomination, we have participated and promote and sustain and financially contribute to the image to the beast. We've been doing it for quite a while. But they'll tell you, no, that's not true. The image hasn't come yet. That is not true. In fact, I'm going to use what the Bible would say. That is a lie. Now, Brother Cherry, can you prove it? Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't have said it if I couldn't, because that would be a very serious thing. Let me read something to you. I think this is going to have to be two parts. This is going to have to be two parts. It's going to have to be. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to read to you, my friends. Listen very carefully. If you're sitting there being skeptical, now is not the time. If you're sitting there with I'm not trying to put you down, but I know some people listen, and when they hear certain things, they get an attitude. I don't want to hear that. That brother, he's just talking. Criticizing. He's just doing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm reading you facts. That's all I'm going to do is give you the facts. You decide what if it's right or wrong. And like I said, what I'm going to read to you now comes from Review and Herald. You ever heard of Advent Review and Sabbath Herald? That's what it used to be called, the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald. Okay? That's what it used to be called. And this is what I'm reading from. I'm not making this up. Again, you want a copy of it? I'll send it to you. Or if you have the bound volumes of the old Review and Herald articles that the church put together, that, you know, they put them in volumes, you could buy them. You could go read it for yourself that you know I'm not making this up. The article, this is taken from the January 1, 1889 edition of the Review and Herald, the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald from Battle Creek, Michigan. I think it's volume number 86, volume number 1, and it's the whole number 1796. Page number in this bound volume is page 275, okay? And the title of it is by the contributor, Mrs. E.G. White. The title of her article is The Present Crisis. Write this down, The Present Crisis by E.G. White. Okay? Listen to this. I'm going to close with this for tonight. She says this, quote, after there's three columns here. I'm reading from the middle column at the top. It starts off, the crisis is now upon us. It's not future. He didn't say that. He said it is now upon us. The battle is to be waged between the Christianity of the Bible and the Christianity of human tradition. Is there not a criminal neglect in our present sleepy condition? What? Sleepy? Wait a minute. Didn't Paul talk about sleepy people? Wake out of sleep? Yes, way back then. And Ellen White substantiates it. Well, actually, Jesus, you realize, Spirit of Prophecy, you all realize that's Jesus talking. All those words that she wrote under the inspiration of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus talking to us. So don't say, oh, Sister White says, no, she did not say that. Jesus said this. He told her what to tell us. Remember that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and I when you read these words. Let me read on without interruption until I need to get to a part. Listen very carefully. The battle is to be waged between the Christianity of the Bible and the Christianity of human tradition. Is there not a criminal neglect in our present sleepy condition? There must be a decided, must be a decided advance movement among us. This is a very small print. Listen to this. We must show to the world that we recognize in the events that are now taking place in connection with the national reform movement, the fulfillment of prophecy. Have you ever heard of the national reform movement? Did you know how it's fulfilling prophecy? If you have heard of it, how is it fulfilling prophecy? How? And she says, we have to show the world that we know that this is the fulfillment of prophecy. And yet, I dare say, you probably have never heard an Adventist pastor tell you this. And I'm going to tell you why. They're told not to. Let me read on. Which we have for the last 30 or 40 years proclaimed would come is now here. Not coming, not future. He says back in January the 1st, 1889, that was we have proclaimed for the last 30 or 40 years. That's from 1844 up to now, 1889. She says it's here now. We've been telling people about this for the last 30, 40 years. It's here. Prophecy has been fulfilled right now. Listen to that. And this goes on to say this. It says, and the trumpet of every watchman upon the wall of Zion should raise the alarm. What is it? Let me read on. It says this. When the laws of earthly rulers are brought into opposition to the laws of the supreme ruler of the universe, then those who are God's loyal subjects will be true to him. Now here it goes on. This is it. The national reform movement that the world and the church have linked hands to bring about will manifest the same oppression, haughtiness, arrogance, and intolerance which have prevailed in past ages. The powers of human councils then assume the prerogatives of deity, crushing under their despotic will, liberty of conscience, and the right of individual responsibility, and imprisonment, exile, and death followed for all who oppose their dictates. Many will plead that there is no prospect that popery will ever be revived. If it shall regain its lost ascendancy, it will be by Protestantism giving it the right hand of fellowship. It will be by Protestantism giving the right hand of fellowship. That's how the papacy will regain its power. Protestants will shake hands with them to give it power to restore itself back to its position of dictating to the world, murdering God's people, etc. Remember what it says, Protestants giving the right hand of fellowship. That's called shaking hands, making agreements, buddy buddies. Okay? And remember, she says Protestants will do it. This is very important, my friends. Now, because of the time factor, I'm going to stop right here. I want you to think about what you heard tonight. I'm going to ask you to go over to the Earth March page and look at the videos. Read what they have to say, what their goal is. You can read it again. Go to the page. It's www.earthmarch.world. And on the right-hand side of the top is a drop-down menu, and there are several videos you can watch, and even they'll give you some other links, and you can watch some other videos by different groups of people. And they're very short videos. They're like a minute, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. They're not long at all. They're very short. And even the wording that they say is very short. They're not very long. They want people to get it quick, boom, 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 right, to get it in their heads. Now, friends, why did I just read this article to you? It's called The Present Crisis. If you don't know what the national reform movement was, then you have no idea of what is about to happen. You have no idea of what you have been a part of and been supporting that is in direct violation and at war against God. You have been financially, morally, and spiritually supporting Satan himself. I know that sounds hard, but it's the truth. Because the National Reform Movement changed its name. It's not called that anymore. And I'm sad to say, but I must say it. I can't think of one church in existence in the United States today, denominationally, that is not participating with the organization that started as a National Reform Movement, that has changed its name, metamorphed into something else, and they are all participating with it. It is not a Christian organization at all. And when you put your money in a tithe plate, in an offering plate, you are supporting the devil's work. I can prove it to you. I'm not making this up. I wish I was just making it up and that I could laugh about it and say, ha, got you. But no, this is too serious a joke. It's not a joke. It's too serious to joke about is what I meant to say. It is too serious to joke about. And friends, you know what's interesting? Worldly people have said, these are like Baptists, they say, we cannot be a part of this. This is not of God. What is it called today? Well, I don't know if I should tell you right now. No, I'm going to wait till next Friday. You come back next Friday night. Sister Carla, I'll come back next Friday, do part two. I'm going to show you folks. I'm going to give you proof positive that the church is involved in this and has been for a long time. But you haven't been told that. You've been told, oh, no, we don't participate in that. They've lied to you. I'm just going to tell you plain and simple. You've been lied to. And not only that, as she said here, if the papacy is ever to regain its ascendancy, it will be by Protestants shaking hands in fellowship. And we have, as a church denomination, they have done that. I have pictures of them actually shaking hands with the Pope. And she said that is going to give power to the papacy to regain its ascendancy in the world. Remember, she says Protestants. All the other churches are not Protestant anymore. They gave up the protest. The only church that was left that was truly Protestant was, past tense, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But they have shook hands with the papacy on more than one occasion. And I can show you the pictures. You can see it. They don't hide it. They say it's a great thing. I had a young brother come telling me God ordained that. No, that is not true. It's the God of this world did, but not the God of heaven. Brother, where do you get your measures from? Didn't get it from God. Brothers and sisters, it's high time to wake up out of sleep, because now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. May God help us to wake up. We have no time to waste. We have no time for foolishness and games and parties and all this stuff. We don't have time for that anymore. I'm not saying you can't get together with your family and, you know, spend some time with them and have a nice meal and like that, but that should not be the focus of our lives anymore. We need to be focused on talking about how we're going to get ready for Jesus to come. If we get together as families and you get together with your family, the main topic you should want to bring up is, are you ready for Jesus to come? What did Jesus do for you today? What have you done for him? How has he affected your life today? What's your plan for next week? What are you going to do for the Lord? What do you have? What are you going to do? Let's stop all this foolish talking. Stop all this wasting our time on things that mean nothing. Everything on this planet is going to burn. Everything. There isn't going to be anything left standing. Everything will be turned into ashes. The huge buildings, the ships, the everything, ash. Nothing left. Nothing. The water will be gone. The mountains, the trees, the rocks, everything gone. There's nothing on this planet worth dying for. Except to save somebody's soul, like what Jesus did. Brothers and sisters, the image has already been set up. It's growing. It's getting larger and stronger. She said that we have to show the world that which we have talked about is here, the unification of church and state. What is it? That's the image to the beast. She makes it very clear. The uniting of the various churches together upon such points of doctrine as are held by them in common shall so influence the state to enforce their decrees and sustain their institutions, then Protestant America will have formed an image to the beast. Great controversy. You read that. You read it 100 times. You heard it 100 times. But you never thought it was already taking place, did you? You see, you have to remember, when Ellen White wrote The Great Controversy, that was in 1884. And people, what they do is they quote what she said in 1884 as if it's going to be in 2027 or 28. When she wrote it in 1884, 5 years later, it came to pass. You see, 1884 was volume 4 of Spirit of Prophecy. That's the original Great Controversy. Then it was rewritten in 1888, then 1911. You know the history. See, the problem with us as people, we don't know our own church history. We don't know our history. And Ellen White says, when you read her writing, she says, time and circumstance must be considered. And when she talked about the coming of the image to the beast in 1884, it hadn't happened, but in 1888 it did. Because what happened in 1888 at the General Conference session? You know what happened. The church rejected the message of the righteousness of Christ. And in 1888, what else happened? The Blair Amendment was about to be passed in the United States that would have brought in a Sunday law. And that's why she said, that which we have preached for the last 34 years is now here. She said, it's here. What I told you about in Great Controversy is here. It's here now. There it is. And yet, you got ministers today trying to make you think it's somewhere off in the future. It's past. It already got set up. And they've been participating in it, supporting it. And you say, but I'm not doing that. We'll talk about corporate responsibility next week, too. That's something else that God plainly puts out in his word, that if you support anything that's in violation, that is warring against God, you're just as guilty as those people. Remember what happened with Achan? How many people suffered because of what Achan did? Those people didn't get that godly, that goodly apparel and that golden wedge. The children of Israel didn't do that. It was just one man. But because they did not search out the sin, somebody saw him and didn't say anything, they tried to cover him up. And the whole camp suffered because of that. And remember, Joshua was down on his face. Lord, what's going on? Why are people suffering? God said, what are you doing on your face? You go find out who caused this problem. Somebody violated my word. And because of that, I can't bless you. The devil's going to wipe you out. You better find out who's doing this. You better find out quick. So they drew lots, and it came down to Achan. And he said, son, tell me, what did you do? Achan knew. He was busted. He finally admitted it. You see, the whole camp was held accountable for one man's sin. Don't sit there and tell me I'm not responsible for what they do. Yes, you are. If you don't say anything, you don't cry against it. If you don't follow Isaiah 58, cry out, spread out, lift up your voice like a trumpet, show my people the transgression in the house of Jacob their sins, you're just as guilty as they are. Don't play with God, my friend. Don't play with him. You can't do that. As one friend of mine should say, your arms are too short to box with God. You will lose. We have to take the Lord seriously because he's serious about our salvation, or Jesus would not have come here to die for you and me. That's how serious it is. He left eternal glory to come save you and I. It's a very serious issue. Nothing to play with, nothing to take for granted. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we live in serious times, and I just hope that your people will come to that understanding before it's too late. Please forgive us. Please forgive me. Lord, help us realize that this whole world is in a mess. There's war in Haiti right now. People are being slaughtered like animals. People are being bought into slavery again in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Little children dying in these terrible conditions of these mines, trying to get that cobalt out so people can have cell phones and smartphones and TVs and electric cars, and they're dying by the hundreds every day. And all around this world, Lord, they're suffering. The war in the Middle East, in Israel, and the Palestinians, and so many other wars that they don't even tell us about, we know they're taking place. And we have so much human trafficking going on, Lord. The little children disappearing, never to be seen or heard from again. The organ stealing from people, Lord. So much, just so much, Lord. And all the destruction that's taking place in the world, the natural catastrophes and things. And these things, we're told, are going to get more intense and more often as we near the close of time. Lord, help us to take seriously. Help us wake up. It's high time we wake up out of sleep. It's high time we get about our Father's business. Lord, we don't have time to be distracted by the things of this world. Lord, please forgive me. And I ask that if anyone's calling upon you now to be forgiven, please hear their plea. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are God of mercy and love, but of righteousness and of judgment too. But Lord, I pray that as you come upon each of our names, please, Jesus, plead for us, pardon us, fill us with your spirit, and give us that unction to go forward and do your will at this time. And I thank you for hearing our prayer. May we have a Sabbath of blessing. And Lord, help us to keep your Sabbath holy. Teach us how to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Cherry. That was powerful. And it's time. It's past time for us to weep between the altar and the porch because of what's going on within our church, within our home, our community. May the Lord truly help us. I'll see if we have time for questions, brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you have a question, quick question regarding what was presented. As you see, we will have a part 2, maybe a part 3. We really need to hear this message and to learn it and to warn others because there's many that are stuck in the church. They just see the church, the ship is going through, not knowing that, you know, the Lord is no longer with the church, the organization, but with individual, and people will
you know, Lord, may the Lord help them. May the Lord open their eyes. So, again, press 1 if you have a question regarding what was presented, brothers and sisters. I know many are shocked what they just heard. And this recording after 24 hours will be available for you to contact me. And again, as you hear, we will be back here next Sabbath evening to have part 2. So amen. And if you have already pressed 1 to present, you have to press 1 and then 1 again. 786-442, your line is now open.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Brother Cherry, you have laid a foundation, man, with the brick and the cement, everything laid. And this information, we as Adventists, we talk about the SDA Church like we are goody two-shoe and we do not understand history. Why? Because we don't read. It's the only time that we open up our Bible. And the Seventh-day Adventist body is in corporate sin. And all of these things that you are saying, they are not going to take heed. But God's going to hold us accountable. And I love that you use give us the example with Achan. One man, sin.
Yeah.
And if we understand the Levi tribe, when the children was in a spirit of apostasy, God forbid the evil Levi to take their money. Look at Eli's son, what Eli's son was doing. And but the faithful ones would not participate in it. And the ones who was coming to Eli failed his sons out of office, put them out of position, or kill them. He never did that. And the Bible said God take matters in his own hands, and he cast him his life and his two sons one day. But for us today, spiritual Israel, we think, okay, somebody is sinning, whatever they want to do. I ask somebody this question. I say, okay, you want to uphold with sin, right? I say, okay, answer my question now. You say, this is God's house. If this is God's house, if you know your son is taking drugs, crack cocaine, and he asks you for money, you're going to constantly give him money? They answer that, but when it comes to God's stuff, we are dumbed down.
Yes.
We don't have no sense.
Yes, that's true.
And we see look now, how many of our Adventists in the city? We say it is a storehouse. How is it that the General Conference cannot help the people them to get out of the city? If you are paying your tithe and offering, the church is supposed to help you. What they used to do with the Levi tribe, go and read the Bible. The children of Israel helped the Levi tribe, who have the word of God to minister unto the people, and no one lacked. When Jesus' time went on Pentecost, he showed that no one was lacking. And now somebody want the money, where the money coming from? Out of the members' pocket. Can't even provide. But our church have money. We are funding 1 million with LGBTQ abomination. We are funding race driving on Sabbath abomination, and that's your money. Biop is joining hand with Pope, giving them Pope gold ring. That's your tithe and offering. Oh, God love. This is God's church, okay? God ain't coming off on a building. We are the church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother, that's Brother Ricardo. Thank you, Brother Ricardo.
Oh,
amen.
Oh, Brother
Ricardo,
okay. He has a high voice. He must be very young.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you again,
Amen.
My brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Amen. Is there anyone else
That's why I wish I could see people. I can't see anybody, so I can't tell who they are.
I think, I think Elder Richardson, your line is now open.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Carla. Yes. Again. Yes.
Yes, we can.
I tell you, this is an eye-opener for us, the presentation that was presented by our dear brother. And I believe that too long, too far, our people have been going around in circles. And it is time for God's people to shake up and to wake up to the what is coming and what is here already. Today I heard about Diop, that general conference liberty personnel, that he's saying that we should join the ecumenical body with what they believe in and be part of it, so we can, and we know what that is all about. They are trying to unite all the churches together, mm-hmm. and here we have leaders. We have Diop, that's the guy. He, mm-hmm. we have leaders that are promoting and promulgating mm-hmm. that we as a body ought to be part of what is going on with these churches, because it is these mm-hmm. churches that are combining and coming together that are going to inform, as you brought out tonight about the image to the beast or of the beast that is going to, we know that there's no more protests. The protest is over. Mm-hmm. Tony Palmer said that before
right.
he died. Mm-hmm. He said, then if there's no more protest, then we all are Catholics. And then why mm-hmm. on earth is those that are leading out? And for me, it is not about bashing conference, it's not about bashing leaders mm-hmm. and so on, but it's mm-hmm. about waking up our people as watchmen of the walls of Zion with mm-hmm. teeth that can bite and bark. Because mm-hmm. Too long, God's people have been led in darkness, and it is time for us to wake up as a people, not to depend and look upon our leaders. We have to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's time
Amen.
For us either to wake up or to shake out. It's either to
Amen.
Win. And I wish I could have mm-hmm. given more because of time. And no, but thank you, my brother, Cherry, for bringing the Lord has led you to that presentation, and I pray that you truly be the watchman in the wall, and we all should be watchmen in the wall, and by God's
Amen.
Grace standing for righteous principle through the heavens. Amen.
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 Praise God. Thank you, Brother Richardson. Praise God.
Yes.
Give thanks to God, everybody.
Amen. And Brother Cherry, as you talked about the tithe for, I don't know, I think it's been a year now or more that I haven't been given, putting my tithes in the church. I don't even really go to the churches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I give it to missionary or those that are supporting ministry that I know that is doing the will of God, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Help
mm-hmm.
those that are in need. So I thank the Lord for you to share that and bring that up. And, you know, people, they have different opinions. They said, you know, we'll put our money in there, and whatever they do with it, that's, you know, that's their problem. We just, God said to bring it to the storehouse, and whatever they do with it, we have no concern. But no, if you know what they're doing with it, they're telling you, they're not hiding it. You know, it's the, you know, you should concern,
mm-hmm.
be concerned. So yes, we have one more hand before we close.
Yeah, before the hand speaks, let me just add this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
2 points. Okay. Number one, they need to know what the storehouse is, and most people don't know. They think it's just a conference. That is not the storehouse. And Ellen White even said God has more than one. So to say that it has to go to the general conference is false. And number two, to say that, you know, as long as I give it, that's all that's required of me, that is false as well. Because people gave Ellen White their tithe and said, "Sister, I don't trust the conference because they're not doing what they're supposed to do with the money. Could you send it to where you think it would be best sent?" And she said, "What I would do, I would give them a receipt for the money, and then I would send it to the ministers in the South, because the conference was not sending the money that people gave them specifically for them. They were spending it on themselves." And she said, "God is going to hold them accountable for that in the day of judgment because they were wicked." And she said, "And don't go around telling everybody about it. Just do it." She said, and there's nobody's business. In fact, there's one conference president over in Oregon told her, you know, "You need to be giving me that money," and blah, blah. And she said, "The less you have to say, the better off you'll be. You need to be quiet about this." She told him,
"Amen.
You need to be quiet about it." So, you know, it's not limited to giving it just to a system, especially when you know that money is being used. And next week I will show you what they're doing with the tithe money, and you want to hear this, and this is documented, okay? And I'll tell you one little tidbit that should get you salivating. There's a reason why they did not give people letters of exemption from the jab. And the reason why is because the General Conference has stock in the vaccine company. It would have been a conflict of interest for them to tell you, no, we're gonna let our people know they don't have to take it, because every shot they get out, they're making money off of it because they have investments in it. You see, that's why. But see, you're not supposed to know that. But I found out, and I got the documents to prove it.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Not amen, but wow. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. It's very serious. It's very serious, friends. It's far worse than you can imagine. Far worse than you can imagine. And that's why we have, like you said, sister, earlier, with the week between the porch and the altar, for the abominations that are done in the church. You got to. People are lost. Okay, someone else that want to speak?
Yes, one more hand. And, again, this is pertaining to what was shared today. 225-337, your line is now open.
Good evening. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for a man of God that want to teach and preach the truth of God. And let me tell you something, everything they are talking about, Sister Leola been studying it and reading it. And Brother Terry, I just want to give you that verse that you, my sister and we were studying the Bible this morning, and Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply unto our hearts. Unto wisdom. And I say, praise God. We was just up through. But this is what I wanted to say. Everything I heard Brother Ricardo talk about, that race cars and that couple of other things they doing with our money. But when I heard they was going to pay T.D. Jakes $50,000 to come and speak at the Adventist church or some kind of big thing he was going to pay, and I saw all this medallion that they give the Pope. All these things, I said they are supporting the devil, which is the Pope. And by God's grace, brother, y'all are speaking some truth on here. May God continue to bless you. May God continue to work in you and bring more. Because you know what? There's a change. God is speaking today, and we are listening because you know what? God wants us to receive the truth. So continue to speak it and continue to preach it. And by God's grace, I'll be here next Sabbath. I'm going to be speaking today. So y'all come on. But by God's grace, thank you once again. God bless you and keep you. Amen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Carl, for opening my line. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, sister. Please, friends, I appreciate you very much. But please remember, when you give thanks, give it to God, not to me, because I'm just a vessel. I'm just doing what he asked me to do. So give the thanks to God. Give it to him. And, you know, I know why you're saying that, but I prefer if you don't thank me, just say, Brother Terry, God bless, you know, and that's it. So that's that. And that's fine. I would like to hear you praise him. That's not, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying I don't want to take any glory for it. And please keep me in prayer. Please keep me in prayer, friends. This is not easy. I've lost a lot of friends because of this, telling the truth. A lot of friends, they don't talk to me anymore. And these are Adventists. They won't talk to me. They won't let me speak in the churches anymore. You know, and I always ask them, I said, just show me where I'm wrong. Show me where it's wrong. Show me if it's not true. And I'll stop doing it. But if you can't do it, I'm going to speak because God tells me I'm supposed to. And I tell him, this is what you're supposed to be doing too if you want to be a true watchman. Don't you care about people? Don't you want them to be saved? Do you want them to be deceived and lost? You say you love them, but you won't tell them the truth? What's wrong with you? You know, I don't get it. All right. Okay.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I get
riled up too easy.
That's fine. Thank you again. My brother, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but there is, you know, many of us probably know a preacher, you know, or many preachers that are teaching Sunday Law, Sunday Law Junior. I'm like, enough of that. I want to know how to be saved. I want to know about the sanctuary. I, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
more,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so
yes.
much, you know, going on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. May the Lord help us to search the scriptures. Yes, yes. And
mm-hmm.
what you are bringing to us there, you know, that's what should be taught. Not what, you know, they're singing the same thing over and over, putting people to sleep. This is what
mm-hmm.
we should be learning at this present time.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Amen. So let us close. Let me say a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, again, I thank you for Brother Cherry. I thank you for keeping him. I thank you for preserving him for such a time as this, Lord, to bring us the truth, the hidden truth, Lord, that many of us didn't know about or are learning about. We're learning the truth, which is in you. And we just thank you for blessing him. Thank you for blessing his family. May you continue to prepare his heart for the messages that you have for him to give the world as a whole. As we know, this broadcast is going worldwide, Lord. May the people be drawn to you, Lord. You said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, as Brother Cherry rightly
mm-hmm.
wants to lift you up and not himself, Lord. Bless each and every one of us with the truth that we have heard, that we will share it and we will not keep
mm-hmm.
it to ourselves, and that we will learn and be disciples, truly disciples of God, set apart
mm-hmm.
holy and being used for his purpose to warn the world, warn our people of what is coming upon us and the preparation that we all need to make. Bless us. Give
mm-hmm.
us a good night rest. May we have a wonderful Sabbath. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, my
amen.
Brothers and sisters. Amen. Have a good night. Jesus loves you. He's soon to come. Prepare your heart. Prepare your home to meet the Lord. Amen. Good
amen.
Night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.